Welcome back to Inside the Kentucky Derby, and we are inside 1 month until the first Saturday in May. The field is nearly set of preference order of who will get into Kentucky Derby 150 after Saturday's Bluegrass, Wood Memorial, and Santa Anita Derby. Man, oh man, the time is here. Crunch time is here, and I am glad the man to my left is back here on Inside the Kentucky Derby. Darren Rogers, welcome back.
Good to be back, KK. Fresh off of a spring break trip to Myrtle Beach, where the Eastern Eagles laid an egg down in Myrtle. They went 1-3, but they did, the baseball team did, beat the 15th ranked team in New York. So it was a fun week with my son, his senior year, and I'm now fresh, four Good. Weeks out of the Derby. What a great weekend of racing. It's a little extra fun watching those races with your toes in the sand.
Oh, man.
And a cool mama breeze or whatever concoction I was drinking, some frosty concoction.
I'm sure it had Woodford Reserve in it.
It did. And it had all 250 flavor notes, 200, whatever they are.
But that's great.
No, it was a great weekend of racing. And KK, I'm really excited about this Derby. If it holds together, this is going to be a fun, fun Derby.
There's a lot of horses that I think have a legitimate shot of running their best race on the first Saturday in May. Sometimes we see years where horses are peaking and have peaked, but there are a lot of intriguing horses that are right now in the field for Kentucky Derby 150. And, you know, several of them ran this weekend in those trio of races that I mentioned off the top of the show. And some of them, in my eyes, may not have won those races this weekend. And just like the Eastern Eagles, horses are allowed to lose races.
They are allowed to lose. You just don't want to see them sleepwalk.
Yeah.
like the 18-year-old boys did down there in Myrtle Beach.
They were too caught up in their surroundings in the dirty Myrtle.
They were too worried about getting snaps. What's your snap?
Oh, God.
Different girls.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. That's how, my 18-year-old brother-in-law, that's the only way I can communicate with him. I can't send him a text message. I can't call him. But if I send him a Snapchat, I can communicate with him. Anyway, let's talk about horses instead of Snapchatting. Let's start off in New York with the Wood Memorial, which was the first race that was run on Saturday. And some years you see a stronger Wood Memorial than others. I'm in the cards that this year's Wood Memorial was not the strongest of races. It was a disappointing effort from Deterministic, who was bet down to the heavy favorite and just very much disappointed for Christophe Clement. Resilience for Bill Mott stepped up, showing how productive this Risen Star has been. And then Society Man stamped himself in a spot in Kentucky Derby 150 at 99-1, running second in the Wood Memorial.
Resilience at 9-2, I thought was a little bit of a gift in a lot of ways. If you just dumb down your handicapping to how strong that Risen Star was, he came up with a nice little 9-2 winner.
Yeah.
And, he was under a tight hold from down on the inside. He rated nice and just kicked on and won by 2.25 lengths. I'm with you. I don't think it was I don't think the Derby winner has come out of the Wood Memorial. The race didn't come that fast, back that fast. Society Man, 99-1.
Right?
Danny Gargan has two in the Derby now?
And if you listened to Inside Churchill Downs Friday night on ESPN 680, 105.7, you would have heard Danny Gargan talking glowingly about this horse, saying this horse has a legitimate shot, and he owns part of this horse. So
wow.
If you connected with 99-1 on Society Man, that's something, and good for Danny Gargan for having two horses in the Derby. But the race just wasn't fast enough, and it felt like just going into the race and trying to talk about it. If it wasn't Deterministic who won the Wood Memorial, it was going to probably have our mindsets of not being the strongest race. It was really Deterministic and everyone else. And when he laid the egg, it was, not the strongest here on Monday morning quarterbacking the race.
Yeah, and the fact that Tuscan Sky was the second choice at 5-2 in the race, I think spoke volumes about how deep of a field this was. Deterministic, I'm a big fan of this horse. He was very disappointing. He's got the points to run in the Derby, but I haven't seen anything definitive from Christophe Clément. But just knowing the pattern of Clément training horses, I can't see him going into the race off of that type of effort being defeated that much.
Yeah, I agree. It sort of seems like, even though it would be Christophe's first Derby starter, he seems like he's going to not run a horse that had, albeit maybe not a legitimate excuse, and then turn around and run in the first Saturday in May. It was his first start going two turns, so maybe that was an excuse for them. And, we'll have to see what happens out of there. But that was the Wood Memorial on Saturday. That was the first race on the road to the Kentucky Derby Championship Series trio of races. And then we moved on to Keeneland, where the entire day at Keeneland, it sort of seems like my phone was blowing up and me watching the races. It was, speed bias, speed bias, speed bias in the track, playing very much towards forwardly placed horses. And that was the scenario with the early pace in the bluegrass. And then you have the big bounding strides of Sierra Leone closing down the middle of the Keeneland short stretch and sort of, beat that bias and beat what a lot of horses can't do at Keeneland on a regular basis. Very much impressing in the bluegrass.
Yeah. I mean, when they went out there, 23 flat, 46-2, 110-4. And even the mile was a nice mile and, 136-3. I mean, that's blazing fast. And you had, Top Connor out there along with Just a Touch, Dornock and Epic Ride were pretty close. The race, set up for Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. And that's to take nothing away from Sierra Leone. I'm a big fan of his. And, the plus side, he's very fast. He's produced. He's got up and won. But he's always going to have to weave his way through traffic. And he had an easy, kind of setup in the bluegrass. Just a Touch to me was, if I had to take one horse out of that race, and I like both.
Yeah.
But I'm going to prefer Just a Touch because he made all that running. He pressed too wide. He led the upper stretch, kicked on, and just got tired. He should have been tired. They went so fast. And keep in mind, that is just his third lifetime start going against grade one company. So when we review these prep races and we look at a race like the Risen Star, where we know that's productive, I think the second best race is going to be this bluegrass. Mm-hmm. I just do.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very strong effort by the top two, and hats off to John Ennis and Epic Ride. For running third in here. Dornock was disappointing. I think wasn't necessarily a surprise maybe to the two of us because we have, he's the one horse that was kind of like the riddle for me all winter long. Mm-hmm. How good is he? I mean, we know he's a half brother to Mage. We know he beat Sierra Leone in the Remsen. He came back and won his 3-year-old debut in the Holy Bull. I was just not sold on how good of a horse, he really is. Or what, not the Holy Bull, the Fountain of Youth. When the Fountain of Youth fell apart. Mm-hmm. So, we'll have to see. Maybe Dornock's the Thunder Gulch of, 2024. I mean, remember back in 1995, Thunder Gulch was all the rage all winter long. And Dornock's been in that conversation. He wasn't necessarily the winter book favorite all year, but he's always in that conversation. And you came out and ran a subpar, fourth. I mean, Dornock's going to be a big price in the Derby, right?
Yeah. People will forget about him a little bit. And, Danny was saying he was hoping that someone would be fast enough to go early. So that way he wouldn't be on the lead. And that was sort of his plan. And you could see in the works that he was trying to let him sit off horses. So that way he doesn't have to be on the lead. Like he's been in all of his starts. The Fountain of Youth, Danny mentioned that, once that race fell apart, he ran down to the apron and was screaming to Louis Size to just go. That was their plan in the Fountain of Youth, was to try and lay off the speed. And they went 24-48 that day. they're 2 seconds faster early in the bluegrass than trying to lay off. And he said, you know, we're in the Derby, and that's what we wanted to try to do in the bluegrass. You made a couple of good points with Just a Touch being, you know, just his third career start, and it was his first time going around two turns. He debuted going 3/4 of a mile, then went to that 1 mile Gotham. So his first start going two turns, and he was able to hold on for second. It just shows the caliber of horse he could be for the Brad Cox barn, and just very impressive. And, you know, seeing how he has to bounce out of that race and improve even more going into the Derby. He's here at Churchill Downs now. He'll probably have, what, two works into the Derby. Not sure how much he'll do in the mornings, but he's going to have to run another career best effort in the Derby.
And I agree.
Yeah. And if he's,
I'm a big fan of this horse, you know that. We'll talk about favoritism in a second, but we've got to review the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah. And so in Santa Anita, which is, you know, the segue to now out west, where there were 6 eligible horses to garner points in this race. 2 of them were trained by Bob Baffert, Imagination and Winstock. Imagination was, you know, the morning line favorite in this race, and Stronghold was sort of, you know, vying his options after that Sunland Derby, Darren, for Phil D'Amato. Phil said, you know, we could ship them all over the place. And once some of the better Baffert trained horses did not go to Santa Anita for the Santa Anita Derby and they've fallen off the wayside, he ended up staying at in his California home. And it was a gutsy effort. Imagination tried to fight back on Stronghold, but he prevailed. And the speed figures were not very fast in the Santa Anita Derby, but he has shown that he is clearly getting better with the two turn distances and, you know, California's lone hope to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. And, you know, Stronghold's been a nice horse. I mean, we've included him in all 6 of the Kentucky Derby future wager pools.
Yes.
If not 5 of 6, and I know he was in the first one.
And in pool 3, he was 200-1.
Oh, he's been over 200-1 in multiple pools.
Yeah.
You recall he broke his maiden here in Kentucky.
Yeah, he debuted at Ellis and then came here to Churchill and then went out west.
Went back to his home base with Phil D'Amato. And, you know, the horse has always been competitive. Very nice victory. I love that Phil D'Amato is going to have a chance to start a horse in the Kentucky Derby. Imagination might, you know, he was the even money favorite under Frankie Dettori. Had a conversation with Randy Moss of NBC. We're talking about him. He might just be one of those horses that, you know, he's always going to be close with other horses. If you look at his past performance line throughout, he either loses by a zop or wins by a zop.
Yeah.
And this is one of those cases. He was on the wrong end, was beaten in neck. But Stronghold's going to be a fun horse for Phil D'Amato. Whether or not he is as strong as the top contenders, I'm not sold on that.
Yeah, and Caitlin Free and I were talking last week, if you were listening to the podcast, of it's going to be a true sign of, you know, the strength of the Santa Anita Derby, because if you think Imagination and Winstock, they are not Muth, Maymoon, Nisos of the Baffert camp. They are the B stringers. And so he barely beat a B stringer from the Baffert barn. And now he's going to come face much better competition here in Kentucky. He's proven around the two turns, winning the mile in an 8th grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. But the speed figure reflected, I think, some of the caliber of competition that he faced in that Santa Anita Derby. Phil D'Amato is one of those California-based trainers that has multiple strings, some here in Kentucky and some in California. He's scheduled to have half of a barn here at Churchill Downs throughout the spring meet. And Stronghold will be D'Amato's shot to win Kentucky Derby 150, the hope for California in this year's Kentucky Derby. So that's how the weekend shook out. There's one race remaining on the road to the Kentucky Derby, and that's Saturday's Lexington Stakes. We'll talk about that a little bit later this week, but a couple of horses that could jump into Kentucky Derby 150, including Hades for Joe Orsino, who is adding blinkers. And Joe Orsino said he's doing everything that he can to try and qualify for Kentucky Derby 150. The Lexington field also includes Liberal Arts, who is a late supplement for this race. Robbie Medina said probably not the Derby, even if he would get enough points that he would qualify. It's likely a Preakness prep for him. And then we also have the New York bred, the Wine Steward, making his return. He has 5 points on the road to the Derby. He could earn possible 25 points with the Lexington offering 20 points to the winner. So final race in the Lexington. And I think, Darren, the real drama will be if Hades can get enough points to qualify for this field.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because he will be a pace factor if he is able to win the Lexington. Mm-hmm. Pace factor in the Kentucky Derby. He likes to be forwardly placed. Look, this Derby, KK, I'm really looking forward to it. We had the, 13 and a half length victory by Fierceness in the Florida Derby. Everybody declared him the winner that day, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which he might be. And I mean, he's the fastest of these 2-year-olds, now 3-year-olds, this entire crop of 2021. But he's also a horse that has run in and out. Mm-hmm. He wins his debut by 11 and a quarter, gets beat 20 and a quarter lengths in the Champagne. Jumps up at 16-1 and wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile out west by 6 1/4. Debuts in the Holy Bull, flat, runs third, 3.5 lengths behind Hades. And then he comes back with this awesome, awesome performance in the Florida Derby where he had everything his own way. He is unquestionably going to be the favorite. Mm-hmm. I've seen some things since, Sierra Leone's victory out in Vegas. They have very similar odds. I'm sorry, Fierceness will go favored over Sierra Leone, who will be the second choice. Sierra Leone, we've talked about him winning 3 of 4 starts. But he's a horse that's going to have to, weave his way through traffic. And, what about the concerns about how tough he was to load down in Lexington at Keeneland? Did it have to do with the big crowd? What kind of crowd is it going to be on Derby Day compared to that?
Yeah, there was a crowd there, I can tell you that much. But it's a whole different animal on Kentucky Derby Day. This reminds me a little bit of Epicenter in Zandon, right? Epicenter mm-hmm. was, yeah. after he won that Louisiana Derby, he's the favorite going into the Derby. He's the favorite. And then Zandon comes back and wins the Bluegrass. And it's, what have you done for me lately? Everyone forgot about the Louisiana Derby. And you ask a lot of people on Saturday after the Bluegrass was run, they forgot all about Fierceness. I agree with you. I think he is the favorite. But it's a lot of, gamblers out there, what have you done for me lately? And there's a lot of that money that will be in the pool for the Kentucky Derby. I do think that Fierceness should be at least the morning line choice and the post time favorite, but it'll be closer than I think a lot of people thought after Fierceness won by 13 and a half lengths.
So whenever you have 20 horses in the field, the favorite is usually a little bit larger odds than one might think. Is Fierceness a 3-1 favorite? And then you have Sierra Leone maybe at 4?
I mean,
somewhere around there. I don't know. I'm ballparking. Here's who I think. Look, right now I think we've got Fierceness favored. Mm-hmm. Sierra Leone not far behind. I think the third choice is going to be Japan's Forever Young.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
He's perfect in 5 starts, winning the Saudi Derby, the UAE Derby. There's going to be a lot of hype behind him. And then I think your, battle for 4th and 5th choice is between the 2 Brad Cox horses in Catching Freedom, who was an impressive come-from-behind Louisiana Derby winner. And then you have the Bluegrass runner-up, Just a Touch. I think those are battling for 4th and 5th choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing they're going to be in the 10 to 12 range.
Yeah. So I'm
that
thinking,
fair.
Just, and I'm just
putting,
talking this through.
Putting Forever Young maybe in 8.
Yeah. Talking this through, I think just because of the caliber of Just a Touch, of a lot of people sort of on our, mindset of being a very impressive horse. He's going to take some action. Forever Young's taking action. Then you have your 2 favorites. I think it's going to be a pretty north of 3-1 favorite in the Derby, just because I think there's going to be more money spread around on several of these other horses. Those two, in particular, I think Catching Freedom, everyone's going to forget that he won the Louisiana Derby. But the signs that I saw from Catching Freedom on Saturday on Friday when he worked here at Churchill, and Brad Cox has said all along, everyone's going to, get on him for not being a good workhorse, and they'll see the videos and sort of, knock him. He looked much better than the videos that I saw in Louisiana on Friday. So if he's on that upwards trajectory, and he's shown that he obviously liked the mile and 3/16 distance of the Louisiana Derby and is improving when the distances get longer. And if he's working, you know, even better coming out of that race, I'm very interested in catching Freedom running a very much career best effort and having a shot at being a little bit forgotten about in some of my, you know, the win money in the Derby, because I think he's a fifth choice in this race, and it's going to be north of maybe 8-1, 10-1 fifth choice.
Other horses I think that are going to be forgotten about that I'm intrigued by, Honor Marie, you know, will be the third race off the layoff in the Kentucky Derby. Of course, ran fifth in his debut. That was in that Risen Star. It came back and ran second behind Catching Freedom in the Louisiana Derby. You know, I'm not one of those guys that's going to give up on a Steve Asmussen type horse. Track Phantom, you know, he's going to be a real forgotten type horse who's finished in the exacta in 5 of 7 starts. He of course, you know, led all the way in the Louisiana Derby, only to falter late under Joel Rosario, beaten, you know, 2.5 lengths behind Catching Freedom, Honor Marie, and Tuscan Gold. I could see him, you know, He's still a very talented colt.
He's a major pace factor in the Derby, too.
Yeah,
adding he is. Blinkers, and he's shown speed without blinkers, and now he's putting the blinkers on for the Kentucky Derby. He's a major player to this early pace in the Derby.
And then Wayne Lucas. I mean, you know, Just Steele is one of those horses that just, you know, when he pops up and he runs fast.
Yeah.
Right? So he's danced 11 times so far. Excuse me. God, we almost went.
Cough button.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's the green one over there. There you go.
There you go.
Sorry. Just Steele, you know, he won the Ed Brown going 6.5 furlongs, but he did that, you know, winning it very fast time. Last time out in the Arkansas Derby behind Muth, I mean, he was 32-1, but he was only beaten 2 lengths, and that he was well clear of the third-place finisher, Mystic Dan. So, if, you know, if Wayne can get this horse going, I mean, this is a very, very intriguing race, especially when you look at it from, you know, if you love playing the superfecta, if you love playing a Derby super high five.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be some prices in there. And
you've got horses that try.
It's fun. Yes.
They're trying to get, you know, into this fifth spot. Just a Touch Steele always tries. West Saratoga always tries, and he's tried all year. Even though he doesn't win and he's not running the fastest of figures, he always tries. You have, you know, the wild card and Endlessly, who was so impressive winning the Jeff Ruby Stakes and has shown lots of, you know, talent on the turf, trying dirt for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You have horses that like No More Time and Domestic Product who have been off and trying to see if they can fire fresh into the Derby, albeit when they faced some softer competition. It's a very intriguing Derby picture. As of this stage, a lot can happen, of course, over the next 26 days. But as of right now, there's, you know, a lot of names that are in this Derby field that I'm very interested in seeing when they get here to Churchill Downs and how they can train to maybe try and blow up the super or the super high five in this year's race.
Well, we'll be here on this podcast bringing some of those connections to you. We'll have some sit-down interviews. Of course, next up, we'll have a preview of the Lexington this weekend. And, you know, it's game on, KK.
It is really
game on. 4 weeks away. Let's go.
4 weeks. We've got, you know, we'll bring on some
guests. I got to send some credential invites out.
invites. We're scheduling out some podcasts with some of our community members talking about Derby 150, what it means to them. You're seeing a lot of the connections ship their horses or making plans to get here to Churchill Downs. As of this morning, the following horses are here at Churchill Downs: Catching Freedom, Endlessly, Just a Touch, Track Phantom, Honor Marie, Mystic Dan, and on the AE is looking in is Common Defense. He's currently 22 on the preference list. You're having several others that are shipping in this week, including Dornoch and Society Man for Danny Gargan. That'll get here on Wednesday. And then some of the others are figuring out when they will come. Wouldn't be surprised if Chad Brown's has his horses have their final or their penultimate works down at Keeneland, and then they ship in to have one final work here. All horses have to be here by April the 27th, which is opening night of Kentucky Derby week and the draw for the Kentucky Derby. So if they're on a Friday, Saturday breeze schedule and they have to ship further than Lexington, they will be here for that final work, which will be streamed live on KentuckyDerby.com and several other places on the Kentucky Derby social media outlets. So we'll be able to see all those horses here at Churchill Downs leading up to the first Saturday in May. I'm just pumped. It's like the adrenaline's here. I'm caffeinated. I'm ready to roll. I wish Derby was tomorrow.
I'm on my fat man medicine. Finally found some Wegovy. I'm excited. Let's go.
Fat man medicine makes inside the Kentucky Derby.
Let's go.
We'll be back later this week. We'll preview the Lexington and talk about all the news and notes on this year's Kentucky Derby 150. Fun time here. Thanks again for listening to Inside the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk in a couple of days. Ladies.